This morning I want to talk to you about new things that have become to us because we have recognized that the birth of Jesus Christ was very important. We know right now that we don't know a time for the birth of Christ. We have lots of guesses. We have those that have done great research, and some of them are probably pretty close to being very accurate. But on the other hand, there are some things that we do know that are new because Jesus Christ came into the world as that little babe and grew up and became that godly man, that teacher, and then from being a teacher to being the Messiah, the Savior, dying there upon the cross. I want this morning to use a text that is familiar to all of us. In fact, it is right there in your Bibles in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Now, you may recognize that this passage was used last week in a message that was preached here, some of these verses. And our brother Wayne did an awesome job of speaking to us and sharing with us what God is doing in his life, but also what his goal of ministry is and what God's goal of ministry is for each one of us. And so I kind of bounce off from that, though I was not thinking about that when I put this together some time ago. I'd like for you to look with me down at verse 14, and then we are going to move all the way down to the end of the chapter. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning at verse 14. For the love of Christ constrains us. The love of Christ constrains us. Because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. Now that may be a very difficult thing to comprehend, but what it is saying, and it's very clearly delineated over in Romans chapters 4 and 5, that Christ's death upon that cross became our death. Christ's death became our death. And in this verse it says, he died for all, then all died. Now that some translations say, because he died for all were dead. And that is true as well. Because over in Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, it says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All died in Adam, it says in Romans chapter 5. So we were dead in trespasses and sins, it says in Ephesians chapter 2. But God now has put us into his family through salvation. And so read on with me. Verse 17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, what does the word in Christ, or that phrase in Christ, mean? It means that you and I are abiding daily in connection with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, it's possible that we live the Christian life without thinking about Jesus Christ every day. I suspect that is possible, but I hope it is not probable in your life and in my life. There ought not to be a day that goes by that you and I don't have thoughts about God and about God's Son and God's Holy Spirit, and that we continually have prayer on our mind. Now, that doesn't mean that you're saying, I got to pray. It means that as we go through life, God puts into our minds someone. And you say, why in the world would that person come to my mind? All you got to do is say, Lord, whatever their need is, please take care of it right now. Protect them, heal them, whatever's going on in their life, and then move on to the other matters of thought. But every once in a while, God's going to prick you with a need, a person. And just make it a quick matter of prayer, and then it's over with. It's done. And go on about your business. Now, all of that has to do with this. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. A new creation. Now, if we are new creations, then that's going to spark some other new things, right? And so Jesus Christ speaks to us this morning of new things as a result of Christmas. I didn't change it up there. I think I did in the bulletin to new things from Christmas. Because every one of you received something from Christmas from someone. I'm quite positive that there's probably nobody in this room that didn't receive a gift of some kind from someone. And many of us obviously receive many gifts. And we thank God for that. But what gift did God give us as a result of Jesus being born? And I'm not talking about the things you may have received from friends and from family and so forth. I'm talking about what you and I receive from God. It says, if any man is in, and if anyone is in Christ, he or she, and that could be either one, obviously, is a new creation. God has made things new for you and me. And you talk to someone who lived a wicked life, and they get saved, and they begin to walk right with the Lord, they'll tell you, wow, what a change. And we used to sing a chorus. We haven't sung it in a long time, but it says, things are different now. Something happened to me when I gave my heart to Jesus. Things are different now. I was changed, it must be, since I gave my heart to Him. Things I loved before have passed away. Things I love far more have come to stay. Things are different now. Something happened to me since I gave my heart to Jesus. Now, there's two things I want to look at this morning. All of this was introductory because of the time element with communion service. I'm only going to cover a couple of my points, and then we're going to look at them and finish the message up in this evening service. That's one of the things that I want, one of the reasons I want to have church tonight. I want to finish my message. But I also want to give you another opportunity to worship the Lord. And it's always good to be in God's house. Now, somebody's going to get mad at me over this point. And don't matter which side you are on, you could be wrong and you could be right. Amen? I know there's a great variety of tastes in music. And I just want to be sure you understand that the purpose of music, whether you like the contemporary stuff, the old stuff, the traditional stuff, the new stuff, the weird stuff, and there's some of that out there in the name of Christianity that I hope none of you listen to, but it's available. And but I want you to look at the principles of new music as it's covered in the Word of God. So we're going to look over in Psalms. So you can flip with me to Psalm 33, if you would, please. Psalm 33, and it's up there on the screen so that you can see it. We'll keep track of these references as best we can. But Psalm 33 talks about singing a new song. And we're going to see that over and over and over again in the book of Psalms and then over into Isaiah. Psalm 33, verses 1 to 3. Rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous, for praise from the upright is beautiful. Now, you may not feel beautiful, but if you are in a praising mood, in the praising mode, to give praise and gratitude to God, God's not looking on our outside, is He? God looks on the heart, says that over in Timothy. Man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. God knows what you're thinking. God knows what's going on in your life every moment of every day, whether you're paying attention to Him or not. I guarantee you He's paying attention to you. And that's a wonderful promise, isn't it? And so it says there, praise from the upright is beautiful. Praise the Lord with the harp. Now, we think about harps the harps of those days was not that great big thing that stands 7 feet high and you sit down and play it. A harp was what today is often called a lyre. And it would have been shaped in kind of this mode, with a bar crossed and strings of different lengths, and something that David could have carried around with him whenever he was out tending sheep. And he could sit there and he could strum on it. When I was a kid, there was a person who came to our church regularly, and she often would bring something called a harpsichord. I haven't seen one of them in many years. But she would play the harpsichord by strumming it. And kind of a miniature piano you can carry around with you, a harpsichord. And so he says here, praise the Lord with the harp. Make melody to him with an instrument of 10 strings. So I know we're not talking about this great big thing called a harp with 50 or 60 strings on it. We're talking about a little portable musical instrument that could be used to bring melody. And then he says in verse 2, praise the Lord with a harp, make melody to him. And I like that word melody. That word melody ought to be important to us. Not noise, but melody. Melody has a rhythmic flow to the name. Well named. Sing to him a new song. That's where I got this idea. Sing to him a new song. Play skillfully with a shout of joy. For the word of the Lord is right, and all his work is done in truth. He loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. That can be the basis of whatever the song is that you want to sing. Make sure that it declares that God is righteous. Make sure the music you listen to is glorifying to the Lord and not just appealing to your flesh. And I realize that everybody's got a different idea about that, but that's the biblical principle. I'm not the Holy Spirit. You just listen to Him and He'll tell you what pleases Him and the Father. And then Psalm 40 and verses 1 to 3. Psalm 40 and verses 1 to 3. I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined to me. He heard my cry. He also brought me up out of a horrible pit and out of the miry clay, and He set my feet upon a rock and established my steps. Now look at verse 3. And He put a new song in my mouth. And then the rest of the verse tells you what the song is about. Praise to our God. Praise to our God. Not praise to you and me. Not what is pleasant to us, but what is pleasing to Him. Praise to our God. Many will see it and fear and will trust in the Lord. And then as you see there on the screen, Psalm 98. Excuse me, Psalm 96. And verse 1, O sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless His name. Proclaim the good news of His salvation from day to day. Declare His glory among the nations and His wonders among all people. And you can continue to read on down through there. And it says when we get all done, down in verse 12, let the field be joyful. And all that is in it. Then all the trees of the woods will rejoice before the Lord. So God is going to get music out of everything. We've already found out that not only does Scripture teach that God has music in the stars, but we now know from science that there is music in the stars. And God is one who loves music. You notice, people who say we came from the monkeys or the chimpanzees or the orangutans or the baboons or the gorillas or whatever, I don't believe they sing, do they? They make noise, but singing? Do they write music? Do they write scores for orchestras to play? Of course not. And we are not from them. We are from God. And God made man. And God gave man the responsibility of singing a new song, even praise to Him. So whatever your music styles are and your music flavors are, make sure that it's glorifying the Lord Jesus Christ. And I could go on. There are a lot of other scriptures, but I can't do that right now. But then we use this morning Isaiah chapter 43. Isaiah chapter 43. And why did we go to Isaiah chapter 43? Because it talked about new things, didn't it? Isaiah 43, verses 19 to 21. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The beasts of the field will honor me, the jackals and the ostriches. Because it give water in the wilderness and rivers in the desert, to give drink to my people, my chosen, this people I have formed for myself, they shall declare my praise. Now I am sure that there's a future aspect to some of the things that he says here in this passage, but I want to tell you something. There is a present aspect to this. If you are a follower of what God is doing in the land of Israel, and that's what this passage is about, if you are aware of what God has done since 100 years ago, I'm not sure the year, but I think it was 1910 that the Balfour Declaration was signed that gave Jews the right to emigrate back to the land of Israel. They had been dispersed out of Israel to every part of the world. Today there are multiplied millions of Jewish people living in the land of Israel. They have literally turned the barren wasteland, as I mentioned last week, into a land once again flowing with milk and honey. And that is what God is talking about here. He says that the beasts of the field will honor me, and then he says that I'm going to give waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert to give drink to my people, my chosen. Verse 21, this people I have formed for myself, they shall declare my praise. Now you say, well, what's the new thing? God brought Israel back to life. That's the new thing. That's the new thing. That's the Valley of Dry Bones story that's over in Ezekiel chapter 36 and 37. Have you read it lately? And you say, what's that all about? It's about what happened in our lifetime. In 1948 of May, Israel was declared a nation by the United Nations and recognized by many, many countries immediately. Not all, but many. And something that had never happened in the history of the world, God took a nation that had been dispersed all over for almost 2,000 years, for 1,900 years, and then God resurrected the land of Israel. And God resurrected the nation of the Jew. Yes, new things. Can't cover them all, but there's one more passage that I really want to cover. And then I'll build on it tonight. And that's Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 22. Jeremiah 31 and verse 22. Now we break into the middle of that passage. But God says in verse 22, how long will you gad about? Now, there's a phrase we don't use very often. Gad about. In other words, wander around from house to house and from party to party and so forth. Oh, you backslidden daughter. God is talking about the nation of Israel. He calls her a backslidden daughter in this passage. This was written just before the Babylonians came in under Nebuchadnezzar and captured the city of Jerusalem and stole all the gold and all the silver and carted off hundreds of thousands of exiles and took them to Babylon and made them stay there for 70 years. This was written just before that. He's writing during that time. And here's what he says. He says, "For the Lord has created a new thing in the earth. A woman shall encompass a man." You say, what in the world is that talking about? That is talking about the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. That is talking about the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. And you can find it there as you go all the way over to Matthew chapter 1, verse 20 to 23, in the vision that God gave to Joseph by the angel and told Joseph to go ahead and marry Mary, finish the wedding plans, because that which Mary carried in her womb was the Holy Child of God, put there by the Holy Spirit of God. A woman shall encompass a man. Doesn't say a baby. Doesn't say male child. It is talking about a mature, existing adult. In reference, obviously, to Jesus Christ, who had existed forever. Isaiah put it this way in Isaiah 9:6. "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given." That means the son existed. The baby didn't exist. The baby had to develop from that little embryo all the way through to full development. And then Mary gave birth there in Bethlehem at the stable. But bear in mind that when God did that miracle, He put God, the Son, inside of Mary's body as that little speck of life, and then let it develop. "Unto us a child is born." That's the birth. That's the little baby. "Unto us the Son is given." That's the nature of God that was in that little baby. And so there are new things as a result of Christmas, a new kind of music as a result of the birth of Christ. We sing about Him. Let us bow in prayer. Eternal God and gracious, merciful Heavenly Father, we come before You this morning and we've just scratched the surface on all the new things that have come to us as a result of the incarnation of Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that You may help us to think through some of these simple thoughts this morning and throughout this week. Bless Your people, Lord, and if there's a man, a woman, a boy, or a girl in our midst who is not yet Your child, I pray, God, today that Your Holy Spirit will do His convicting and teaching and leading and guiding work and bring them into the family, bring them into the fold. We give You thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.